So if you have your Bible, please open to Luke 14. And this is a passage where Jesus describes a parable of the great banquet. And the passage that we're looking at is printed for you in your outline. And please follow with me as I read the passage for us. This is Luke 14, starting in verse 15. When one of those who reclined at the table with Jesus heard these things, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat in the kingdom of God." This is a passage about the kingdom of God, verse 16. Then Jesus told him, "A man was giving a large banquet and invited many. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to tell those who were invited, 'Come, because everything is now ready.'" Everything is now ready. "But without exception, they all began to make excuses. The first one said to him, 'I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. I ask you to forgive me, excuse me.' Another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to try them out. I ask you to excuse me.' And another said, 'I just got married, therefore I am unable to come.'" Verse 21. "So the servant came back and reported these things to his master. Then in anger, the master of the house told his servant, 'Go out into the streets, go out quickly into the streets and into the alleys of the city, and bring in here the poor, the maimed, the blind, and the lame.' 'Master,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, and there's still room.' Then the master told the servant, Go out into the highways and the hedges and make them come in, so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, not one of those people who were invited will enjoy my banquet." And so the context of this passage, just as a reminder, it's printed for you there in your outline, starts in verse 29 of chapter 13, where it says, Jesus says, "They will come." And this banquet is the kingdom of God, the great kingdom of God, the great wedding supper of the Lamb, when people from all nations, all tongues, all languages come together to this great banquet, and the King, God, is sending out us, his servants, to invite people to this great banquet. And Jesus prophesies, "They will come from the east. They will come from the west. They will come from the north. And they will come from the south. And they will recline at the table in the kingdom of God." Now, how could Jesus have said this over 2,000 years ago, when no one had heard of him, no one had heard of Christianity, no one had heard the gospel message, his own disciples didn't really understand it. And yet he says, this gospel will be preached in all the earth, north, south, east, west. He's talking about the kingdom of God. He's not talking about a big dinner. And then in chapter 14, I listened to Bob's message last week. I thought it was brilliant. In chapter 14, in verse 1, it says, "On the Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat at the house of one of the leading Pharisees, they were watching him closely." So he's talking about the kingdom to come. And then he goes to a banquet. And at the banquet, he uses the banquet as an illustration to talk about his kingdom. It's a humble kingdom, and it's a diverse kingdom. And it's a kingdom of east, west, north, and south. And he's saying this to Jewish people who thought they were the kingdom, and that Jesus, that the Messiah would come to them, and they would be the epicenter of the kingdom of God. And Jesus is reminding them, warning them, foretelling that, no, it's bigger than what we and they had in mind. And then in chapter 14 and verse 13, it says, when you host a banquet, and this is, they had hosted a banquet, and they didn't do this. When you host a banquet, invite those who are poor, who are maimed, who are lame, and are blind. And when you host a banquet, don't jockey for position and social power in that. And that's exactly what they were doing. And then he says something beautiful in verse 14 that reminds us of Chris's, weird to say it, Chris's message yesterday. And in verse 14 of chapter 14, it says, Jesus says, if you come into his kingdom and you do what he says, if you go out and you announce his kingdom in the north, in the south, in the east, in the west, in the highways and the byways, to the poor, to the blind, to the naked, and the maimed, if you do that, verse 14, then you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. This banquet is the resurrection. At the resurrection of the righteous, there's going to be a great gathering of believers from all over the world. And Jesus promises, Jesus prophesies, Jesus declares to us that if we bring people to this banquet, we will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. I don't know about you, but that's the most exciting thing I got going on in my life. That's the context. So now look at the section in your outline where it says, you're invited. And there's three big ideas that I see in this passage. And if you look at the passage, I've put it into three chunks. And there's really three chunks, I think, in this section. And the first section, let's preview it real quickly, is to join. There's an invitation to all of us to join the banquet. Jesus says a great man threw a great banquet, and he sent his servants out to invite people to the banquet. The banquet is the kingdom of God. Good news, you're invited. I'm invited. And so the good news is that we can join this banquet. And many of us here have done that. We want to join God's party. The second section is in verses 18 to 20. And in this, we have the section where people give the excuses. Now, I went online. I'm not going to bore you or enjoy you. I don't know what the word is. I'm not going to read these things. But I went online and I put funny excuses. If you go into the Google and put in funny excuses and, you know, reasons why people couldn't do something, then we give some funny excuses. Well, there's three here. But I don't think they're funny. I think they're good excuses. But in this section, we will see that all of us have a job, all of us have a family, all of us are dealing with money and life, and we have to balance all those things with this kingdom of God that Jesus is talking about. So we're invited to the banquet, but we have distractions from the banquet, and we sometimes make excuses for not participating in the kingdom of God. And then finally, I read and heard so many people that talked about these first bits of the passage, but the third passage section, I think, is equally important. And in this section, we see the great king sending out his servant again and again and again. And this reminds us that God has been speaking to his people all around the world through the prophets, through Jesus, through the apostles, to this day through his church, and saying to the world, come to the banquet, come to Jesus, come to his table, receive his salvation, let him change your life, let him sanctify you, and then enter into his service. And The primary service that he indicates here is inviting people who are different than you and me to the banquet. And he says to do it urgently and to avoid the distractions, to avoid the excuses that we make, but to do that. Anyway, so let's look at the three sections. The first is in verses 15 to 17, and I'm going to read those for us again. In verse 15, it says, when one of those who reclined at the table, a Pharisee, was with Jesus, when he heard Jesus talking about the kingdom, he said to Jesus, oh, blessed is the one who will eat in the kingdom, eat bread in the kingdom of God. And then Jesus told him, a man was giving a large banquet and invited many. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who were invited, come, because everything is now ready. And Jesus is talking and speaking metaphorically, and he's saying, you're invited. Jesus has come, and he, and in his ministry, Jesus is calling us to follow him, to join the kingdom, to be with him forever, to be a part of the wedding supper of the Lamb. And in this, we see, and it's a beautiful thing to me, it really is, we are invited to the ultimate pleasure of this conceivable pleasure of the universe. We have been invited by the King to into his kingdom and to participate forever with him in the greatest spiritual pleasures imaginable by humanity. This is the invitation. Come and receive salvation. And it's not just, it is the forgiveness of sins, but it's so much more. It's the forgiveness of sins and our salvation, but this salvation is this eternal life. It's eternal. And it's life eternal. And it's pleasures forevermore. And I just say, wow. And so it's the most positive, affirming, beautiful, wonderful invitation anyone could receive. But on the flip side of it is it's also saying you want to avoid death and you don't want to starve to death alone. But there's a warning at the end that we'll see is if you don't receive this invitation, if you don't come to Jesus and you don't get your garments cleaned to go to the wedding supper with him, if you don't do that, you will die. You will die spiritually, and you will starve to death alone, and you won't be a part of the greatest banquet to ever be introduced to humanity. So we see this salvation and that's coming in Jesus in this first section. And then in the second section, verses 18 to 20, let's read that together, or not together, I'll read it for you. This is the excuses section. But without exception, isn't that interesting? Without exception, everyone had an excuse. Everyone had an excuse. And we'll see, I have excuses, you have excuses, they had their excuses. They began to make excuses. The first one said, I have bought a field, and I must go out and see it. I ask you to excuse me. So the invitation had gone out by the servant, and they'd all given a mental assent, and they said, I'll be there. When you throw the party, when you have the banquet, I'll be there. And then they got a head count, just like if you're going to have a big wedding or something, you send out invitations, and people send the card back, say, I'll be there. So you plan on 50 or 100 or 200 or whatever it is. And then you buy meat, and you buy cake for that many people, right? So they'd said, yes, I will be there. They'd sent their card. But then when the day of the banquet came, they said, oh, I'm so sorry. I know you spent $100 ahead on the party, but I can't come. Right? They couldn't come. Now I've lost my place. Where was I? Oh, the field. Where was I? So the first one, he said, I can't go. I have a field. The second one, he says, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen. Oh, man, he's got 10 ox, you know. He's a big businessman. And I'm going to try them out. I ask you to excuse me. Verse 20. And then another one said, I got married, and therefore I am unable to come. So let's think about these excuses for a second. I think they're good excuses. The one didn't say, you know, I need to go rob a bank. The second one didn't say, I got to go cook meth. The third one didn't say, I got to go start a cat house. No, they had good excuses. And the three excuses that they give are the things that occupy our entire lives. Getting a place to live. The first one said, I bought some real estate. I need a place to live and work. And that's what we all spend our day trying to do. It's a good excuse. And then the second one said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. This is his business. He's a farmer. He's a businessman. He's doing business, and that's what we do. You get up tomorrow, you know, maybe you'll read your Bible, but most of us will go to a job and go to work, try to make the paper. And that's what he said. I got oxen. Now these are lame. No pun intended with the oxen. These are lame excuses because don't raise your hand. But have you ever bought a piece of property sight unseen? Not me. Have you ever bought an ox? Now I'll ask you this: if you have, raise your hand. Have you bought an ox sight unseen? Anyone? I didn't think so. If you ever bought an ox, I used to have a cow. But you wouldn't go out and buy 10 cars that you hadn't seen, right? You don't do that. They're lame excuses. And the third one said, I got married. I can't go because I'm married. And we know that these were bad excuses. They were lame excuses. They were really saying, I got more important things to do. You know why we know that these were bad excuses? Because the master of the house is angry. He doesn't say, oh, I understand. You married a girl and you can't come to the greatest feast in the history of all time. I understand that it's a good excuse. No, he says he was angry. Why? It's an insult. It's an insult. Just like if you invite me to the greatest party of all time, I can't go. I have an iron, it broke. I can't iron a shirt, so what am I going to wear? So I can't. No, you make a way. You find a way to get there. You work something out. So these were lame excuses, and they were saying, my business, my money, and my family is more important than the kingdom of God. And for most of us, the things that get in the way of serving God is what? Job, money, house, family, marriage. Those are our biggest excuses. And there's nothing new here. So they're struggling, and I struggle to balance my life so that the kingdom of God, the great banquet, is my top priority, even though I have a lovely wife and a lovely family, and I live in a house that needs taken care of, and we have business interests. I have to do all that. But here's the beauty. This is the most fabulous invitation in the history of humanity. How could I not balance this and work this in? And this banquet that we're being invited to and that we're giving excuses against represents ultimate fulfillment. And here's the thing. We think if I just have enough money, then I'll be fulfilled. But it ain't so. If I just own enough property, then I'll be fulfilled. But it ain't so. If I just marry Mr. America, then I'll be happy. And Mary, she didn't. And it's not true. It's just not true. It's a bad joke. It just came to my, it's a silly joke. I apologize. But the point is we really think that we'll be fulfilled if we're successful in business. We'll be fulfilled if we have a successful marriage and family. And that will sanctify us and that will be fulfilled. No, it won't. The kingdom of God will fulfill your soul. And in doing that, in finding that balance, we have to do it because if we don't, like in this parable, we will incur the wrath of the great man giving the feast, who is God. So this is an invitation. The party is an invitation to salvation. Come join the kingdom of God. Submit to Jesus. Confess your sins to God and come to God through Jesus. That's salvation. And then this is be sanctified. Have your life be changed. Have your marriage, your family, your money, your business, all of that come under the lordship of Jesus so that you are ready and prepared for the feast, the great feast of the kingdom of God. Now the third section. The third section is in verses 21 to 24. And here we are. Let me read that for us. So the servant came back. The servant that the great man had sent out. The servant came back and he reported these things to the master. Then in anger, the master of the house told his servant, "Go out quickly." Now this is our job. This is what we are to do. Go out quickly into the streets, not into the churches, not into the ministry centers, not into the seminaries. Go out into the streets. Go out into the alleys of the city and bring them in here, not into the church, into the kingdom, to the great banquet. Bring them in here and bring the poor and the maimed and the blind and the lame, because Jesus was looking around at the party that he had been invited to, and none of those people were there. It was the educated, it was the wealthy, it was the sophisticated, it was the elite, it was the smart guys, the ruling class, whatever. And he's like, no. You go out, he's saying to us, you go out to the highways and the hedges. You make them come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, not one of them, not one of those people who were invited will enjoy my banquet. So this third bit is an invitation to us to invite others. Just as the great man sent out his servant to invite people to the great banquet, Jesus is sending us out to invite others into his eternal kingdom. And what's in this for us is we avoid the meaninglessness of life and futility. And these are things we fear. We don't want a life of futility. We don't want a life of meaninglessness. We want fulfillment and meaning. And Jesus says it's in bringing others into the kingdom. Not just in you going to the party, not just in you getting the invitation, not just in you receiving all the fun and the joy and the pleasure and the benefits of the kingdom and this great feast, and you just gorging yourself, but then you go out and you bring people from the east, the west, the north, and the south. You enter into my service. You be a doulos. You be a servant. You be a slave to the great master and invite others in. And when you do this, you will find your ultimate satisfaction and your ultimate purpose. Now, look with me on your outline at the top right. Where is God in this story? And it may be obvious to you already, but for some who may not see it, God is the king in this story. He's the great master in the story, in verse 15. He is the king of the kingdom. He's the wealthy master. Jesus is saying, God sent the prophets. God sent his Messiah. And he has sent them and invited his people over and over again, come into the kingdom. And they're like, we're busy. We're busy farming. We're busy raising cows. We're busy raising families. We're busy making money. We're busy with all the problems of life, and we don't really have time. And God is angry. He sends his people into exile, but then he has mercy on them, and he sends more prophets, and finally he sends Jesus. So God is the wealthy master who's setting up his kingdom and inviting his people to the king, to the banquet, but they say no repeatedly. John 1, 12, 9, he came unto his own, Jesus, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, or in the language of this, to enter the feast, to come into the kingdom. So God is the wealthy master. And what does God want? Somebody tell me in verse 23b, what does he want? He wants a full house. He wants people. And in the context, again, he wants people from all over the world, from all different races, class, colors, income levels, intelligence level, whatever you want to call it. He wants a group of people from all over the world. And he wants his house to be full. And now that brings us to the most important bit, at least the most practical part for us. Who am I in this story? Who are you in this story? And I want you to think about it. I want you to look for yourself in this story. Are you the great master? Somebody say no. You're not the great master. Who are you in the story? And I say with great joy, I'm in verse 21. He said, go out quickly into the streets, into the alleys of the city, and bring in here the poor, the maimed, the blind, and the lame. That's me. I'm an alley cat. I'm a slave. I'm a servant. And now he's graciously brought me into his kingdom. He's graciously invited me to his banquet, and he's lovingly sending me out to invite others into this party thrown by the greatest king there ever was. So can you find yourself in this story? So I encourage you to read this on your own and say, where am I? Who am I in this story? Where am I? You know, my people come from an island in the Atlantic, and we're pagans from day one. And now we have a place at this great feast, and it's wonderful. So, in real practical terms, there's that bottom right box, will I? And there's three questions. And there's three questions that you have to answer. I can't answer them for you. You have to answer these questions. And these questions are framed in reference to the three big points of this section or this passage. Number one, will I submit to God and be saved from my sin and his wrath and enter into the kingdom? Will you be saved? So if you're here and you're saying, I'm not sure how all this works, this weird language and metaphor, I'm not sure where I fit in all this. Well, the first question to you is, will you do what Jesus directs us here? Will you accept the invitation to the banquet? Will you say, yes, that sounds wonderful. An eternal banquet with God? People from all over the world that have responded to him and have an opportunity to live with him and with each other forever in peace and joy? Say yes. Say yes. It's a wonderful thing. So will you submit to God, or will you be saved? And then the second question is, will you rearrange, will you reorganize, and will you seek to balance your life so that Jesus and his kingdom, his banquet, is your top priority? You'll still have a job. You'll still have a bank account. You'll still have a marriage. You'll still have a family. You'll still have problems. You'll still have all those things. But Jesus doesn't say in this story that these people were evil to have cows and land and farms and families. No, those things are good things. Those are his gifts to us. But we have to arrange those things in such a way that even though we're spending time breaking rock or whatever it is we do, we're arranging our schedules and balancing our lives so that his kingdom and having time to do his work is a significant part of our lifestyle. And then the third question is, will I start sharing the gospel, the good news, with others? Because in this story, he repeatedly says to his servants, what? Go out. Leave this place, the home base. You go out, and you go to people that are different religion, different race, different everything, different personality, different language, different all of it. You go out to them, and you invite them to come to his banquet. And will you do that? And turn your outline over. Let's try to apply this just a little bit. Not going to spend a lot of time on this box. What's your excuse? This is for you. You know, what's your excuse? Why can't you do this? Why can't you come to Jesus and be saved and enter his kingdom? Why can't you grow in your sanctification so that the things of your life, your sex life, your family life, your parenting, your home life, your housing situation, your money situation, your job situation, your real estate land investment situation. Why can't you, what's your excuse for not arranging those things in such a way that you have time left over to serve God? What's your excuse? And it might be different for some of us. And we might say, God, you know, you don't understand. I have extenuating circumstances. Okay, give it to God and say, God, this is my excuse, and then and let him deal with you. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you and to understand that. Let me talk for just a couple minutes about what this means to me. Now, I could talk about this passage and say what it should mean to you. What this should mean to you is you should do, you know, I can't, in this case, I can't do that. I can just tell you what it means for me. This passage has become very meaningful to me. And there's parts of it that I really like, and there's parts of it I really don't like. But the part that I like is what this means to me is I get to worship God, and I do worship him, and I thank him for inviting me into his family and his kingdom. I'm happy. I'm glad. I'm grateful that he saved me. And that he invited me, and that I said yes. I'm just really honored and blessed, and so that's what that means to me. And then the second bit is I struggle, like you struggle. I struggle to balance my marriage and my family and my work and my business and my home activities with the priorities of the kingdom, and I'm not a betting man, but I bet you do too. You know, it's hard for all of us. It's not easy. But that's the call of this passage, is to find a way to do that so that you are growing in sanctification with the view to the resurrection, when you will be rewarded on the basis of who you brought into the kingdom. This is Jesus' teaching right here. I struggle with that, and you do too. And then the third section is you know, this question of how do I invite others? And I cannot tell you how this should look for you. I really can't. I met an evangelist once, and I said, how do you do it? I hear you're a great evangelist. He looked at me like it was a stupid question. He says, it's really easy. He says, I'm a martial artist, and my body is covered in tattoos. So I go to the park, and I take my shirt off, and I start doing karate moves, and I gather a crowd. People come to see me, you know, throwing these kicks and everything, and they start pointing at my body and my tattoos, and they ask, and all my tattoos are Bible stories, so I start to tell the Bible stories. And you know, so he looked at me like, you know, why don't you do that? Because I don't know karate, I guess, but... And I don't have any tattoos. And anyway, but so I can't tell you what it is. But for me, this is how it is. I have to daily discipline my schedule so that I make time to share the gospel. And I encourage you to do that as well. And that will look different for all of us. I just got a text just on the way here. A woman, it's part of our evangelism team, she said, pray for me. I'm in Salem tonight, and I'm going out to preach the gospel. Now this woman, she's 35. She was fully on meth for 15 years, and she sold herself to get the drug. 5 years ago, God saved her. And I guarantee you, she can preach the gospel better than anyone in this room. And I've heard her do it. She's amazing. So I can't do it like that. And you can't do it like that. But we can do what we can to say, okay, God, what have I got? What can I do? We have a team that goes out door to door every week, and there's sometimes there's five of us, sometimes there's eight of us. And we are meeting on a disciplined level at least 20 people a week. Sometimes, 40, 50, 60 people. We're literally contacting thousands of people a year and sharing the gospel with them. How do we do it? It's discipline. It's work. But we're inviting people to the kingdom. And you can do that. You can find ways to do that. I did a post. I put a post on this app called Nextdoor last week. And it got over 800 views. One little post. And I'm not a tech guy, right? I just made a post on Nextdoor in my neighborhood. And over 800, inviting people to come to see the Jesus movie, the Jesus Revolution movie. Over 800 people saw it. Well, that's not being Billy Graham or something, but it's like, hey, come hear Jesus. Come, let's think about Jesus with us. So you got to figure out what that is for you. And let's review a little bit. There's an invitation tonight. Jesus is inviting us to the greatest party of all time. You're invited. I encourage you to accept the invitation. And there's a warning in verse 24. And the warning is this: for I tell you, not one of those people who were invited will enjoy my banquet. Because there's a lot of people that make excuses. They present as religious. They present as Christian. They say they believe the Bible. They say they follow Jesus. But they don't come to the feast. And they don't go out when the master tells them to go out. And when the servants of the master go out and invite them again, they say, I got a thing with a girl. I can't. So we don't want to be that. And we want to be those who go out with joy and meaning and fulfillment and invite all the peoples of the earth. Now, I think you guys get it. I think you know this. I think you agree with me that this is talking about the kingdom of God that is coming soon. Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me, he says. And our Lord taught us to pray this. And so in closing, I invite you to pray the Lord's Prayer with me. It's printed on the back of your outline. And you can pray it out loud with me if you're familiar with this translation, or pray it quietly as we read it together. Let me start us. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come. Again, your kingdom come. Your banquet come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen.